What is it about Easter that's so special? It's been special to me since I was a small boy. Is it the improved weather? Although they say it's going to rain today, but it hasn't yet. Is it just raining now, is it? I knew that this would happen when I put this in. But it has been really special, hasn't it? The lovely spring flowers we've had this evening and the lighter evenings. But you know, all this is marvellous, but none of that at all explains the uniqueness of Easter. What a celebration. And remember that the Old Testament and the New Testament are one book, and the old and the new are linked. So let's go back to the prophet Jeremiah and listen to his words. Jeremiah 31:31-34. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors, that's the old covenant, when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another or say to each other, know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and here remember Good Friday, and remember their sin no more. Is this prophecy of the new covenant introduced by Jesus' death and resurrection and its fulfillment by these two events the reason why Easter is so special? So let's look at this together. As we examine Jesus' resurrection again, let's first remind ourselves that he really did die on the cross. It is quite clear from Matthew 27:57-61 that Joseph of Arimathea buried a dead body, and there were two witnesses, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, whom we know from John's Gospel to be the wife of Clopas and sister to Mary, Jesus' mother. Further, the authorities were clear. Jesus was dead. So we approach the first Easter day with Jesus' dead body in the tomb with a great stone rolled in front of it. Imagine this in your mind's eye. Now we move to the first day of the week, and Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb, Matthew 28, verse 1. There is then an earthquake, with the stone rolled back by the angel, all in white, the guards becoming like dead men. The angel tells the two women not to be afraid and reports the resurrection of Jesus and invites the two women to inspect the tomb. They leave with joy, yes, but also fear, and run to report the resurrection to the disciples. They, the first to meet with Jesus, take hold of his feet and worship him. And that's what we're doing this morning. We're worshiping Jesus. They receive instructions to go and tell Jesus' brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see Jesus. Now, my short resume may seem impossible to unbelievers, but that's why the resurrection of Jesus is a miracle. Jesus, fully God and fully man, led a perfect life without ever giving way to the power of sin, and thus he only of human beings was not subject to death holding him, but rather God the Father raised him from the dead, because sin and therefore death had no power over him. Whilst in a moment we will look at the evidence of Jesus' resurrection, maybe the most interesting comments, witnesses by what they heard, were the Jewish authorities themselves. They obviously were worried that something had happened, because the guard, that's the people who were at the tomb, told them everything that had happened. Now, evidence. Apart from the Jewish authorities, we have as evidence the witness of two women, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary. And I love this, because throughout the ages, women have been downgraded, but Jesus didn't. They were the first witnesses to the resurrection. And female witnesses were unusual, and it is as if God wanted to make a point by making women witnesses, who were considered at the time as people who counted for very little indeed. We don't need to stress the fact that the tomb was empty. Then there are the resurrection appearances, but more importantly, changed lives. The fulfillment of prophecies like the Jeremiah one I quoted at the beginning. Lastly, the church was founded and blossomed and grew and grew and grew, so that after 3 centuries, Christianity became the official religion of the known world under Constantine, the Roman Emperor. Surely all this cannot be pushed aside and the resurrection doubted. No, it is clear and true that Jesus on that first Easter day rose from the dead. And here we come to our application. He introduced by his death and the resurrection, and later at Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit, the new covenant of the Lord Jesus Christ, this wonderful covenant, which means that through Jesus we can know God. I raised the question at the beginning, what is it about Easter that is so special? It is special because we are yearly reminded on this day that not only did Jesus rise from the dead, but by doing so, he introduced everything new, a new covenant that God has with us through Jesus. In Jesus, Christians know full forgiveness of their sin, which is amazing. I don't know if over the last few days you've thought about that, but I have. And each Christian has an individual relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Under the old covenant, you needed a priest. Under this covenant, you do not need a priest. Individually and personally, the way is open for you to know Jesus Christ. And there may be a few of us here today, just a few, who have not yet taken that step. You know, you could go out to church, out of church today, having a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, just by giving your life to him. You see what Jeremiah wrote? For they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest. Now, isn't that amazing? Have you thought about Christian faith, both for those who are not quite there, but for all of us, how amazing it is that we can know God through Jesus Christ without any help from anyone else? Obviously, people give courses, but it's not the same thing. There's nothing in the way. Under the old covenant, you had to have a high priest. You had a curtain in the temple, which when Jesus died was split from top to bottom, because the way was open for all of us to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, straight, without anyone to monitor that. Now, isn't that amazing? As Christians, we are born again into new resurrection lives, receiving from the Holy Spirit power to help us overcome temptation. But not only that, the Holy Spirit makes Jesus real for us, and we realize that he is with us, as he promised at the end of this Matthew's Gospel. Our new resurrection lives depends entirely on Jesus and his death on the cross and resurrection. Further, our promise of being raised to eternal life after death is because we have, as Christians, become resurrection people, due entirely to Jesus' victory over death on that momentous first Easter. Jesus' death and resurrection are fundamental to our Christian faith. And as St. Paul writes, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 17, if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you're still in your sins. But it's wonderful that we are raised as Christians, that we know Christ, that he changes our lives, and maybe for one or two of us, he can change your lives today. As Christians, we are forgiven and live different lives, filled with the joy of knowing Jesus in relationship. And I know some of us have had a hard time over the last year and may be worried about the future. But whatever may happen in the future, live also with the promise that Jesus will be with you and the promise of eternal life with him once our time in this world is finished. You see what the new covenant means? It's an amazing gift from God to us. So how shall we end this Easter Sunday sermon? Words to take home with us as we enjoy the day, as we open those chocolate Easter eggs. I can tell you that my wife has them all lined up at home, chocolate Easter eggs. I don't eat them. I want to conclude with words from St. Paul, not with the negative story told among the Jews to this day, Matthew 28:15. I'll read that to you. So they took the money and did as they were directed, and the story is still told among the Jews to this day that the body was stolen. Absolute nonsense. St. Paul writes in Colossians 3 as follows. So if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. And here's the challenge. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died to sin, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Think about that. And St. Paul continues with a list of sins that we must put to death. And then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved. And this is good for us to think again at Easter. Clothe yourselves, that's for me, for you. Clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. This is what it means to be resurrection men and women, passionately following our Lord Jesus Christ, risen today. Amen.